Okay, Daf Gimel. Gimel for Gil. Here we go, the top of the page. We're at the two dots, also known as a colon. Atzof HaShmura. So we had said in the Mishnah that when it comes to saying Kriya Shema, so there are three different opinions as to how long you have until you can say it at nighttime. We had Shitas Rebbe Eliezer that said you can say it until the end of the first shift, the end of the first shift of the Kohanim. At the time, we had assumed that that meant three shifts during the night, meaning one-third through the night. Mm-hmm. And had given halachic, in terms of halachic hours, that would be how many halachic hours?
Four.
Four out of 12. Assuming the day is split evenly, it's very rarely happens. But let's assume there are 24 hours in a day, and then you have 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of sunlight, and halachic hours. So then you have 4 hours through one shift worth. We also have the Chachamim said, the Chatzos, and Rabbi Gamliel, who said until you have until the sun comes up. But right now we're going to focus on Rabbi Eliezer. So my kasav Rabbi Eliezer. Let's think about Rabbi Eliezer for a second. If there's really three, if he thinks that there were three shifts during the night, so lema ad arba shavos. So just say until 4 hours. Why are we playing around with the end of the shift? Arba mishmaros have alayla, and if you're going to think that it was four mishmaros, and there would therefore be 3 hours per shift, kasavar lema ad shalosh shavos. So then say 3 hours. So olam kasavar shalosh mishmaros have alayla. Really, he thinks there were three mishmaros and therefore 4 hours worth. V'ha kamash malan, but he's trying to teach us something else, as we said the other daf also. Di'ik mishmaros berki, v'ik mishmaros bara. That there are mishmaros for the angels in Shemayim, and then there are mishmaros for the people down here on earth. D'tani Rabbi Eliezer, om mishalosh mishmaros havi alayla. There are three shifts. V'yal kol mishmar yoshev v'kadosh baruch hu b'shoi kari. And at every mishmar, exactly when does Hashem make this declaration is unclear. The Gemara is going to even elaborate on when he makes the declaration in a little bit. But at each mishmar, Hashem makes and roars like a lion. Well, we haven't said that part, but he roars, yeah, like a lion. Shnemar Hashem imaron yishag mimon kacho yitin kolo sha'og yishag al navehu. That he in the you see in the pasuk. This pasuk is from Yirmiyahu. And when it says it, so the word yishag or sha'ag comes up three times. Right? It says yishag, sha'ug, sha'og, and yishag. So it says that means he's giving three different krechses. He's giving three different roarings. Oh, wow, look at this caterer. So we have three different roarings. It's similar davar. And this is an interesting way. How do you know? The Gemara asks an interesting implicit question. How do you know when the three mishmaros are happening? So it says, similar davar. We have some indicators for you. Some indicators that the three mishmaros, the three shifts are going on. Mishmar Rishona, chamor noer. The donkey will, how do you translate? Nay?
Bray.
Bray. Okay.
Horse's
nay. Horse's nay and donkey's bray. Okay. So that's the first one. If you hear a donkey braying, so then you know that it's the first mishmar. Exactly when this happens in the first mishmar, we'll see. Shnia klavim sagim, and then the second one, you have dogs barking, screaming. Shlishis tinok yonik mishade imo, that child is nursing. The isha misaparesim bala, and a couple are talking to each other. So a couple interesting diukim here. First of all, the first and the third mishmar are in singular, right? There's one donkey and he's braying. There's one child and he's nursing. And there's one couple they're talking to each other. In the middle of the night, how many dogs are barking?
Cloven.
A bunch of them. So the Mefarshim explained because they people oftentimes can hear dogs barking for random reasons. But donkeys don't randomly neigh at nighttime. That's what they say. So if you hear one donkey braying, so you have to know that that's time for mishmar. Okay?
So what?
Wait, that means the second guard?
Aside from what each of these might have individually signified, why do we need to know this at all? Because just like the day...
So the Gemara is going to answer a little bit.
You to compute this.
Yeah. So first of all, it's difficult for us to grasp these types of things because we live with clocks and we live with modern technology that we don't need things like this.
I'm guessing the husband and wife conversing is a euphemism.
No, I don't think so.
No, it says something about that they're beginning to wake up.
Yeah, that's when
she's
they start
to
wake up.
To death, yeah?
It would be a good guess. Get out of bed. It's 6:30. But
the end of the last watch is the
So the question, but the Mevarshim do explain that the another diuk that you can be made from that can be made from this is that the third one needs two signs. The first two, you're good with just a donkey. The second one, you're good with just dogs. The third one, you need a combo. It's a double team. You have a child nursing, and you have a mother and father, or a husband and wife, talking to each other. So why do you need both? Because children get up all the time in the middle of the night. Husbands and wives talk all the time in the middle of the night. So you need the combo of the two. So there are different explanations of it, but that's one.
But if it's talking about the end of the watch, why do you need a simen at the end of
the third watch?
Because sunrise is your simen at the end
of
the third
watch. Season's daf yomi learner here, because that's what the Gemara is
going
to ask. So the Gemara says, Micah Chashi Rebbe Eliezer. So now we've got these three dindicators, or four really, three watches worth. One of these people making these sounds. If the donkey, the dog, and the child are all doing it at the beginning of the watch, when that section of 4 hours starts, why do we need a sign for the beginning of the first watch? It just becomes nighttime. And we know from the Gemara before that that's the beginning of the first watch. If you're going to talk about the end of each of the watches, and that's what the indicators are for. So if Mishmer Achron Olam Lisimana Yumamahu, when the sun comes up, we know that that's the end of the watch. Ela Chashiv Sof Mishmar Rishona Tchilas Mishmar Achrona Themsos Them Tzitza, that the three indicators are for the beginning of the first watch, the end of the first watch, meaning it's still in the middle of the night, and then you need the beginning of the last watch, which is also still in the middle of the night. And for the middle one, the dogs are going to be barking in the middle. What's important about the middle? It's chatzos. We need an indicator for chatzos. Which
we
sounds like...
the sixth hour of the night. The chatzos. The dogs are in the middle of the second watch?
Yeah.
Okay. Middle of the second watch. V'ibay yisem akulu sof mishmaros kachashiv. Or you could say that they're all because of the end of the mishmaros. And if you're going to tell me, wait a second, just the last one, you don't need an indicator. It's just for when the sun comes up. So this comes back to David's question. What do we need it for? For someone who is in a dark place. He's sleeping in a dungeon. He doesn't know when Kriyashma is. So when is it? When you hear the child nursing, when you hear the couples talking to each other in your dungeon, so then that's when you have to start saying Kriyashma. There are a lot of interesting diukim in this benchmark for the timing. First of all, they switched the order. Right, the order was switched. Before it was the child first, now it's the mother and the father, the husband and the wife first. People talk about it, I don't remember what they say. But another interesting thing is that we're talking about Kriya Shema. When can you say Kriya Shema?
Mishayakir.
What is it saying here?
First grade. Hello.
It sounds like Amud Shachar, because it just said, why do you need a sign? Just look outside. Look out your window. If the sun is up, that means you can say that means you get up. So he said, no, but the guy needs to say Kriya Shema, and he's in a dungeon. He can't look outside. What is looking outside going to help? The sun is not the determinant of when you say Kriya Shema.
Well, if he doesn't have a baby or a talkative wife, I mean, unless he lives in a place with very thin walls.
Right. So what's the suggestion then? Wait for the sun to come up, and then wait another few minutes.
That's what you're reading. By the time you get stressed.
By the time you get around to it, so then you can do it. Yeah, so it's an interesting Gemara here. Again, I'm sure the Mefarshim will talk about it. Amar Yitzchak Bar Yishmuel B'Yishmei D'Rav Gimel Mishmaros Havei Alayla. There are three watches. V'Yalkom Mishmar Mishmar Yashav Kadosh Baruch V'Shoy Kari V'Omer. There are three watches, and every time, every Mishmar, Hashem says, Hashem roars out, Oil Abanim Shabbat Menoseim Barachrav Tiyas Besi V'Saraf Tiyas Yechali V'Yiglisim L'Vein Umos HaOlam. You know how terrible it is to my children, that through their sins I destroyed the bias and I burned the sanctuary. Interesting. What's the difference between a bias and a heichal? I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and then I burned what? Also the Beis HaMikdash. So why is he saying it twice? What? The Shechina? Okay. You'd have to read that into the words. It'd be tough. One's bias, one's heichal. Which one is the Shechina? Okay, so some explain it's Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Others explain that it's the Bayis Havim Rishon Mala and Bayis Havim Rishon Mata, that they're dependent, they're interdependent on each other. Does the Arshbel say that, Yerachbel?
Yeah, as stated in Tanis.
My bad. But when it comes to this Gemara, so what it's saying is that the Shemayim and the Aretz are connected to each other. That if you're not going to have the Beis HaMikdash on the ground, so you can't have it in Shemayim either.
So what's what again for heaven and earth?
Beis presumably would be in the heaven, because it's my house. But I can imagine it going both ways. But
Heichal is my Heichal too, so.
Yeah, you're right. But Beis is like more personal, I think. Either way, so the Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Am Rabbi Yossi Pam Achas Hayisi Mahalach Baderech Benechnasi Dechorva Achas Dechorva Yerushalayim Is Pala. One time I was walking on the way and I needed to daven, so I went into one of these broken down shuls. Vel Yehu Zacho Tov V'Shamar Li Al Pesach, and Eliyahu Hanavi was there V'Shamar Li Al Pesach, and he was
standing guard.
Not exactly standing guard. It's interesting, you would think that, but it's not. He's not exactly guarding anyone, although it would be interesting if that translation would fit the rest of the Gemara. Is that how the article translates it?
No. So
they waited, right? Like Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef tells him the second dream, so it says, V'aviv shamaris hadavar. Yaakov waited to see if it would come true. The Sfasema says a similar idea when it comes to Shabbos. What does it mean to be Shomer Shabbos? That on Monday, you're waiting for Shabbos. That on Tuesday, you're Shomer Shabbos. Doesn't just mean you're keeping Shabbos, it means you're waiting for Shabbos, you're yearning for Shabbos. Okay, so Eliyahu HaNavi was waiting for him. Ad she siyamti tzvilasi. Until I finished davening. L'acha she siyamti tzvilasi amar li. Shalom alecha Rebbe. He would say, Shalom alecha Rebbe. V'yamarti lo, Shalom alecha Rebbe. Umori. Okay, it's outdoing Rebbe Eliyahu there. But he says, Eliyahu is not happy with him. Because says, why did you come into this broken down shul? He says, because I came to daven. You should have davened on the way. It's better to daven on the way than to daven in this place. I was worried. Maybe some people are going to stop it. They're going to distract me. Or even worse, while I'm on the way. So therefore, I didn't want to daven on the way. So they say, and then he says back to him, V'amar li. You have Amar Li Hayalacha Li Spal Tfila Katsari. You should have said the short tefila. Anyone know what that is?
Havinenu.
Has anyone here ever said Havinenu? There is a thing, and it's in your siddurim. But Baruch Hashem, well, we don't have to do it as often as they used to, maybe. But there's a short davening for those who don't have the ability or the time to do the whole thing. At that point, says Rabbi Yossi, I learned from Eliyahu Hanavi three important things. Don't go into a broken down shul if you don't need to. I also learned that you're allowed to daven on the way. And someone who is davening on the way is allowed to, or should, it's unclear what the Gemara is referring to, or what Rabbi Yossi is trying to say, but one is allowed to, at the very least, say a tefillah katsara, say Havinenu. He says to me, what do you hear in this broken down shul? I'm hearing a voice which sounds like a dove. You know, same thing, woe is to my children. Through their sins I destroyed my house, I burned down my sanctuary, and I expelled my children to the other nations. It's not just right now that this voice is saying this. Three times a day, this voice says such a thing. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say at every Mishmar. It just says three times a day. Now, daytime implies that not nighttime. So there's some Farshim that actually say this is not talking about the same thing. Before we had said that Hashem's voice says this every time the Mishmar starts, or during the Mishmar. Here we're saying, Chol Yom V'Yom, Shalosh Pamim V'Yom. So some explain this actually means the three times that we daven during the day, Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv. Now, Marav obviously is not during the day, but that's what they say, that in accordance to when the Jewish people are gathering in shuls, not in Yerushalayim, and not in those in those chorvas, so that's when Hashem says, you know, Oyel Elvanim, the Yilusim Umos Olam, that I expelled them from the world. And then obviously some explain that this is just referring to the three Mishmars, just like we said before.
It's interesting to hear that you like assume that you heard something
also. You're saying the Eliyahu?
Yeah.
Yeah. I spoke, it's like feel the dreams. Like, did you hear that? And he's like, yeah, I actually did. You know, maybe some people didn't hear it. But Eliyahu, I know if you assumed that Rabbi Yossi, because like maybe because of his stature, maybe because it was actually loud, that he actually heard that. Okay. Velozu Bavad, Ella Bashashi, Israel Nathasal Besta Knesios, Vati Mishrashas, Vaon, and Yehesh Mei Gadol, Mevarach, Akadish Barachu. Every time the Jewish people go into Shul and they say Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevarach, so then Hashem, Mina Akadish Barachu, Mina Hanei Arosha, he shakes his head or nods his head. Vaomer Ashre Hamelach Shemakas and also Besokach. Blessed or praiseworthy is the king who gets such praise in his house. Malo la'av shehiglo asbanav. What's the father to do when his children are no longer there? Vo'elahem labanim v'shegal me'al shochanam shochan avihem. And woe is to the children that have been expelled from the table of their father. Now it's interesting here. It says only oylo labanim. Hashem says, how praiseworthy is it that his children praise him like this? And then it says, woe is to the children. Well, is there also a woe to the father, or is it only to the children? Second of all, you'll notice that the mashal changed. The first part, the first phrase says that how praiseworthy is it for the king to hear such praises in his house? And then the second part of the mashal switches it not to a king, but to a father and a child. So why the switch? So some explain, I saw from a source, Mari Dasa. Mari Asad. It sounds familiar, but I hope not from Syria. But an opera called Mari Asad says that when Hashem is the Melech and he's in the Beis HaMikdash, so who knows about Hashem? Everybody knows about Hashem. There's this place called the Beis HaMikdash, this power, overpowering structure that everyone loves, that's the center of the world. So everybody knows about Hashem. So for that, he's a Melech to everybody. Everybody knows about him. But when the children go to Galus, and there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, and there's no central power, central headquarters of the Jewish people, so then who knows about Hashem? No one's looking at a headquarters of the Jewish people and knowing about Hashem. It's only his children that know about Hashem. That's why it's Olo Labanim after the Galus. But the truth is, the Chassam Sofer asks an even better question, which is, why is it Olo Labanim? What about Hashem? Is it not also woe is to Hashem? It's only woe is to the children. So says the Chassam Sofer, that when it comes to Galus, when Jewish people go into shul and they go to learn, that becomes even greater of a chizuk to Hashem. It's strange to say that you would think that it's a greater nachas ruach to Hashem when we go to the Beis HaMikdash. But says the Chassam Sofer, if even during Galus, without a Beis HaMikdash, and without a central organized structure in Yerushalayim, even then the Jewish people are making the mysterious nefesh to go to shul, to daven, to go to shul to learn, to go to the Beis Medrash, Hashem still gets nachas ruach. So it's only oyle labanim, because Hashem still has the nachas ruach from his children in Galus going to shul. Okay, we have one more minute. Let's see how far we can get. Tanur Rabbanan. Bibnei shlosh etvarim ein nechtas lechor b'bnei chashad. This is a pretty quick read, but it takes a little bit of logic, so hold on. So you got three reasons why you don't go into the Chorba. Eliyahu Navi didn't tell Rabbi Yossi why not to go into the Chorba, but the Gemara is going to tell us now. One is Chashad. We're worried that maybe they're doing something strange there, or something promiscuous there, because it's no one else goes there. Number two, Mipnei HaMapolis. It's a rickety building. It could fall more and hurt you. Number three, Mipnei HaMazikin. Because of that which can hurt you, not in terms of the building, but in terms of demons, spirits that lurk around broken buildings that can hurt you. If you're going to tell me it's because of promiscuity, that maybe we're concerned he's going to be looking like that. Why do you need any other reason? Just say that it's because the building's going to fall down. So no, it's bechadati. Oh, this is a new building. That the new building, part of the new building fell down, so it's classified as a chorba, but the rest of it is actually very strong. And therefore, you don't have to be concerned about Mapolas falling something falling down. But tabulei mishum azikin. But let's say it's because of the demons. So you know, betray. When there are two people in the building, the demons aren't going to bother you. There are no spirits that are bothering two people. Ibitrei, but if it's with two people, suchashad namileka. So then there's no concern of promiscuity either, because when there are two people, they have accountability to each other, and therefore they wouldn't do it. No, betray, baharu, pritzi. We're talking about two promiscuous people that will go beyond the boundaries. You're going to tell me that the only concern, what do I need a concern of the building falling down? Just say the two reasons that that people are going to be concerned about promiscuity and because of the demons. No, betray, ukshari. But this is a situation where there are two people and with kosher people. That the chashad doesn't work because there are two people and they're kosher. Umazikin doesn't work because there are two people and they don't attack, the demons don't attack when there are two people. And therefore you still need the reason of mapoles, of the building fall. Why do we need the demons? Just say that it's because of the concern of promiscuity and because the building's going to fall down, and that would cover all cases. Say, no, b'chor b'chadidi b'trei k'shari. That's when it's a new building, and therefore it's not going to be falling down so easily. And also, when you have two people that are kosher, you don't have the concern of chashad. So you say, wait a second, ibitrei, you just told me that if it's two people, so the mazikin namileka, so there shouldn't be a mazikin either. So no, b'mkoman chayshinan. This is a place where spirits just hang out. And when the spirits are hanging out at that place, I can't tell you where this is, but if the spirits are hanging out there, so there's even more concern, even if there are two people. V'iva yisem l'om v'chad v'chorba. Maybe it's only one person, and he's in a chorba chadati, he's in a newly destructed building, which is strong, and you don't have to worry about it. Machos, tekai b'dvara. But it's outside in a field. No woman, there's no promiscuous woman that would go out into the field, because I guess it's just far away or it's an open place, but I'm not sure. But however, because of mazikin, you still have to worry about the spirits that might still be lurking over there. Okay, we'll pick up after Shachar. Yeah, we'll come back here. Try to get back here as quickly as you can.